Halloween may be over, but there's nothing spookier than hearing the disembodied voices of the Oklahoma Today podcast. I am Ghoulish Greg. I am Ghoulish Greg Elwell, Oklahoma Today's web editor, here as always with our editor-in-chief, Necronomicon Nate Gunner. And this week we have once again kidnapped creepy Carly Ibarra.
Hello.
And morbid Megan Rossman.
That's fair.
For
that's creepy with a K.
Thank you. Yes. We want to talk about our November December issue, but first, the Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com.
Also stands for many interesting Oklahomans.
Yes.
I don't know, not really.
Having been to the MIO little conference thing, I can guarantee you there are many
interesting
Oklahomans.
Yeah, that's true.
Who are making these products.
That's true.
We're all kind of in a ice haze right now,
yep.
I think.
Ice hell.
Wow. All the way over to,
when they talk about hell freezing over, I feel like that's where I'm
Oklahoma
at.
Oklahoma during an ice storm.
Yeah,
so technically none of us were supposed to be at work today.
But we didn't know.
We didn't know because none of us have power or internet. Well, Greg does.
Yeah. But I barely live in Oklahoma anymore.
You live in Edmond. It's very Oklahoma.
It's centrally located, but it's like another state.
Well, that's a wonderful one. Your colleagues live in areas where the power lines aren't buried, I think, is the relevant piece of data here, but that's okay.
I was thinking about the ice storm back in 2007. When I had my very first Friendsgiving scheduled, and then the ice storm came and knocked out all the power, and we just went ahead with it. I had a gas stove, and I cooked a turkey and a bunch of other stuff.
That's fun.
Everybody put the beer in the snow in the backyard, and we just we ate a bunch of food and drank a bunch by candlelight.
Friendsgiving probably isn't happening for most people this year.
I don't have friends anymore, so that's been...
Hey! You are seated with three people who tolerate your presence on a daily basis, and if that's not friendship, I don't know what is.
Oh, I thought you guys were my coworkers. Are you all not getting paid?
We like you.
Oh, okay. That's
the point.
We're not getting paid to tolerate you.
Oh, okay.
We're not getting paid to like you. We do that for free because you're so very, very likable.
But I was thinking about during that last ice storm how... like isolated it was, and we've had one since then when my power was out for like 2 weeks or more. But it got me thinking a little bit about this new issue and the Introvert's Guide, which is all about being alone,
spending time alone. You know, everyone's favorite thing in the time of COVID. We are really kings.
Yes and no.
This.
Like
we are masters of this content selection process.
There is safety in aloneness.
There is, and there's a lot of joy to be had. I had a lot of fun doing my story for this. Did you guys have fun?
Also danger.
Let's talk about that, Megan. Let's talk about danger, morbid.
Nothing is exciting unless it's a little bit dangerous.
If you choke on something or slip on a grape, I always think of that David Sedaris story about slipping on a grape and dying, and there's no one there to help you.
Well, luckily that didn't happen to any of our colleagues.
Wow.
That's why they call me morbid Megan.
I guess so. Yeah. Wow. Halloween is over. But
it lives on in our hearts.
Yeah. All year long.
My heart is haunted.
By the way, feel free to hop on to Bumble, J-Date, lots of other things if you want to find Megan.
Yeah.
Morbid Megan, her heart is haunted.
But I had a lot of fun doing mine, but I got to go to Black Mesa, so I don't have any complaints, because that's a great place to go be alone.
I think we all had pretty good experiences. Yeah. Megan had, I had never even heard about the floating cabins at Lake Murray.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're very nice. They are, as the name implies, they are floating on the lake. It's pretty cool. Like, they have... One of the things that I love was they had like little ladders that led directly from the deck into the water. So you can just like, you know, just walk outside and jump off your deck and you're swimming in Lake Murray. Or you can like moor a jet ski or a boat or whatever. There were a lot of people doing that. And it's a beautiful lake. It is, if you've never been there, it is like aquamarine. It's very pretty. And
it's like, how far from Oklahoma City is it?
I mean,
an hour and a half?
I felt like it was
just
about an hour. Yeah, I felt like it was
2 hours, something like that. Yeah.
It seemed like it was less, a little bit less than, maybe like an hour and 45 minutes.
That's not too bad.
It's
not too bad.
It took me.
Had you not been to Lake Murray before?
No,
that
was amazingly.
16 years at the department and had not been to Lake Murray. That's legit shocking.
Have I been there that long?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, no, I've never been to Lake Murray. It's something that I've been meaning to do. I thought it was it was very, very, I went at the end of August, so it was very humid, and I do not like that. But it was nice to be at the lake, and man, I fed those Canada geese. there were a lot of Canada geese that would come by the porch, and I gave them a lot of potato chips from Oklahoma's Foggy Bottom restaurant.
Oh yeah,
State Park.
Yeah, new restaurant.
As long as you didn't
State
give
Park
them bread, you're not supposed to give geese bread because it makes their wings go backwards. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yep.
How was the Halloween podcast last week? That's terrifying.
Creepy Carly coming in hot.
It makes something about their wings. They like it, like they can't fly if they have too much bread.
I have to apologize.
In fairness, I also can't fly if I've had too much bread.
I gave them a lot of potato chips. I gave them all of my potato
chips.
It's the most natural thing in the world. Geese have been eating potato chips for millennia.
Yeah,
but
since time immemorial.
Eventually, I had like at one point I counted there were like almost 20. Canada geese like just swarming by my, so be careful about feeding.
I was gonna say, I'm sure they were like, hey, this lady has chips.
They were way more excited about those chips than I was, but
so hey, I was wondering, so it's on the lake, does that mean that it like gently rocks you to sleep?
It does. Is a rock. You don't really notice it that much. Occasionally you do, like if somebody goes by in a boat, you can definitely feel it, but it's not something that like would make you feel seasick or anything.
That's good.
The only thing, I stayed there by myself in true introvert fashion, and there was a lot of creaking, like just lots of creaking noises that at times kind of creeped me out a little bit, but it was, and it faces east. I think all of those cabins face east, and so, or at least sort of east, and like just the sunrise was absolutely beautiful, and the sunset was absolutely beautiful.
Oh, that's cool.
Me and the geese got along well, and the water felt amazing. Oh, and you know, if that's something you want to do this time of year, like the rates go down starting in November.
Yep.
And you don't have to book a minimum stay of multiple nights. So you could just go there for one night if you wanted, and they have great fishing. So
I mean, I don't know why you would just go for one night.
No,
that
I don't.
Seems like
I wanted
a multiple
to stay
night
there.
Kind of thing.
I wanted to stay there for much longer.
The other thing I liked about this story, Megan, and your place, the floating cabins were such a great example of this, is like you can go there and be alone, but I feel like each one of these places you can also go. And not necessarily, because that cabin will seat like 14 people.
The cabin I stayed in will sleep 18 people.
Goodness.
So once gatherings
of 18 or more are cool again, people can go,
So you just invited the geese in?
Yeah, no, it was just me and the geese. But if you want something smaller and, you know, that's a little bit less costly, they have also like little, what they call pods. But even the pods can still sleep 2 adults and 2 children.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's beautiful.
Yeah. The same thing with, she's not with us on the episode, but our coworker Kashia wrote about a great cabin down in Hochatown, down in the Broken Bow area, called the Roasted Marshmallow Cabin.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks amazing, but it's, you know, a great place to be alone, but also like it'll sleep enough people. You can take a big group if you want.
That's Hochatown in general. Like you can find a couple of smaller cabins and some older cabins,
mm-hmm.
but a lot of the newer ones really are, it's like, it's almost built for family reunions and big parties with your friends. And
some places have them that are like honeymoon cabins that sleep too, you know. And I toured one of those one time working on some story. Someone showed me one of their honeymoon cabins, and like I was like, this is great, but I don't want a bathtub next to the bed. Like that's not really my style, is the only thing.
You know, I did I did recently have the bathtub in the living room experience in Eureka Springs, but I prefer to have all my bathroom stuff in the bathroom.
Kind of separated. Yeah.
That I only lived there for a few years, but I do remember asking when we built our new house, I was like, can we have the toilet inside? Because having it in the yard was a real bummer for everybody.
That's just for vacation.
I have recurring nightmares about that.
When I used to play The Sims, I would put their toilets out in the front yard by the sidewalk. And they were very upset about it.
You were a cruel master.
Wow.
This all goes to my theory that we shouldn't let Megan be God.
Well, she hadn't done a great job with 2020 so far.
No, I'm sorry, guys.
That would be morbidity, Megan, who did that.
But there are also some places in the introvert guide where you don't have to go and stay at all.
That's true. Yeah, Greg had one of those.
Yeah, the J.T. Nichol Family Wildlife and Nature Preserve out near Tahlequah in the Cookson Hills was really great. I don't think I've been anywhere that quiet/noisy in a long time. Like it was just buzzing with activity, and not human activity, just so many butterflies. Almost enough that I was worried. I was like, if any of these decide that they want to be carnivorous, we're dead. Like there were so many of them.
Would you stop tempting 2020, please? You're just giving it ideas.
Murder hornets, carnivorous butterflies. I guess I've been reading a lot of fantasy novels or something. I really loved it. I wish that I could spend more time out there. I did not wish for to bring home as many hitchhikers as I did. I was cleaning baby ticks off of my legs for like a week.
Deet.
I sprayed and sprayed and sprayed again, and they were voracious.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Readers and travelers.
I mean the people at the Nature Conservancy will tell you the exact same thing, man.
Yeah. Pro tip: just be ready for ticks.
Be ready for ticks.
Check yourself before you.
But if you go this time of year, obviously. Much fewer insect creatures.
We did all this travel in August.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is a great time to go see the elk herd that they have out there.
I would say it's a good time to go see the foliage, but ice storm.
Yeah.
And now it's not happening.
Well, I don't know how bad it is up there in the Northeast.
That's a good point. Yeah, mm-hmm. Here it's like it stopped dead in its tracks in central mm-hmm. Oklahoma, but I don't know. Yeah, I haven't looked at weather up there. But it's a cool... J.T. Nichol's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, we have a lot of... Like, the photos were gorgeous, and it's mm-hmm. just a neat, neat place.
And you took your niece on yours, right?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
It was me and Philip and our dogs.
Okay, I'm sorry. I always think about... I confuse dogs and children all the time.
It's easy to do.
Yeah.
They're both messy and annoying. Most of the time.
And they never obey commands.
Yep.
Yeah. You did another one that doesn't require an overnight stay.
I did, And you could actually, you could take any member of your family there at any time if you wanted to, because it is between UConn and Oklahoma City, Stinchcomb Wildlife Refuge.
Mm-hmm.
It is... It's a small little big park, I guess. There are lots of places where you can just stick on the main trail and follow that 5 miles in and just come back, and you'll see plenty of trees and cool stuff.
Yeah. And you recommended in the story, you had kind of a pro tip that was take your phone.
Yes, definitely take your phone, because it's easy to get disoriented, especially if you get off the trails.
Yeah, and there's plenty of signal out there because it's mm-hmm. kind of urban.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. You're never too far away from other people. But it's really nice because you can't, you're surrounded on both sides by trees, so you can't really see anyone else. You can't see airplanes. Occasionally, you might hear one flying overhead.
Because the Wiley Post Airport is not real far.
Not
from
too
there.
Far, yeah. Uh-huh. But I mean, you can definitely forget that you're in. Civilization.
That's awesome.
There.
I love walking through there and coming across the river and those high banks.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
yeah.
you kind of look down on the water. I love those views.
Yeah.
They're so cool.
I've
well,
never been there.
You should go. And
yeah,
you can
actually
go off trail a little bit too. That's when your phone is very
important. Well, I was
going to
say, we won't name
unmarked.
Any names, but we do have a former colleague who was lost at Stinchcombe at one time and
had to
have.
Had to be rescued by the police.
Had to be rescued. And we don't totally understand how that happened because, like we said, GPS and cell do work out there. And. But, you know, it was a different time.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it wasn't as strong.
Yep.
No judgment on that former coworker who we left.
Hey, man.
It happens.
I once drove to Prague instead of Duncan because I didn't notice that I got on I-40.
I told Kashia that story the other day as a warning.
Well, and Black Mesa for you was, you've been several times.
Oh,
but
I love it. Yeah, I've been going to Black Mesa since 2008. And I've had a recommendation from, and that trip in 2008 was after, like, literally 10 years of two of my friends really bugging me that I needed to go. So,
not just to get away from those
two
friends?
No, my friends Jason and Todd one time just decided to do it at, like, 6 p.m., got up there about midnight, looked at the stars, were like, wow, and then got in the car and drove the 6.5 hours home. And they were like, that's what you need to do. And I was like, no, I'm not. We're going to book a place to stay, and we're going to do it the right way. And so we booked at the Black Mesa Bed and Breakfast, July 4th weekend, 2008. It was like a life-changing weekend. We had so much fun. And so I've been going back ever since, and I just love that place and those people. And so, but yeah, it was like at the end of, it was toward the end of August. The drive up, it was like 114 degrees in Woodward, according to my car. It felt like it was 150. And then as we got into Kenton, the very first cold front of the season came through right
oh,
as we
nice.
Got there, and it started raining like mad. We couldn't even hang out on the big front. They have this gorgeous big front porch, this amazing view to the west of the valley and the sunset.
Black Mesa Bed and Breakfast.
Black Mesa B&B, and we couldn't even sit out there. It was raining so hard, and it was so cold. But the next day, the weather, it was cloudy, so it wasn't too sunny. And it was like 72 and we took the dog.
Oh, nice.
We didn't really want to do, I love doing the walk to the top of the mesa, but we just weren't, it just wasn't where we are. Like, cause you know, our dog is little, Fred's little, she weighs like 15 pounds. It's like an 8-mile, 9-mile walk both ways. And
you just strap that dog to your back.
Well, I do like 2 miles every night with her walking, but I didn't want to try to do that far and I didn't want to leave her there. Like I wanted her to enjoy it too. So we just walked, we took her over to the state park and there's great trails over at Black Mesa State Park. Like there's some really good one. It was like 2 miles of trails that we did.
Mm-hmm.
You never really have the state park facilities out of your sight, so you always kind of know where you are. Like they're just basically mm-hmm. up on the, you know, Black Mesa, the state park is down in a canyon.
Something
yeah,
that
and
I
you're
always,
walking up on the rim.
Yeah, something yeah. I always like to point out is the I know they're both managed by the state parks, but like Black Mesa Preserve and Black Mesa
yes.
State Park are not the same. Like Black Mesa
right.
State Park is about 8 miles from the actual mesa.
Yeah.
It's, which,
you
know, you
want to do the walk to
far,
the type
but,
of the mesa, you don't go to Black Mesa
yeah.
State Park.
And the hike, I think the hike from, you know, the hike from the parking lot at Black Mesa to the top, what is that, like 4 miles?
It's like 4.5 one way.
It takes a long time, though, because
the first 2.5 are just through a pasture.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of feel like, this doesn't
yeah,
seem right.
I've been out there with
yeah,
before,
I have that great photo
so.
Of you, like, almost dragging your purse and looking at your backpack.
It was
looking
my backpack.
So, just looking so despondent.
I was very irritated about
it was a really hot day.
How indirect the trail was.
Yeah.
It was not logical to me, but I guess not everything.
If you've never, yeah, if you've never hiked up to the highest point in Oklahoma, it's well worth doing, but for the first 2.5 miles, you will think that you've gone off the trail, and you haven't.
Yeah.
It's just through a pasture.
No, and then
yeah.
you
and
actually
then you hit the
get
mesa.
To the mesa and then go up it. And
those switchbacks are kind of hard, but everything
they
else
are,
about that walk
yeah.
is pretty good.
But yeah, the view is amazing, mm-hmm. and there's no sound out there. Like, I mean, there's sound, but there's no sound of, like, traffic. It's kind of eerie, but really really beautiful. I remember the only sounds I could hear were, like, the wind going through, like, the grasses and cows groaning.
Mm-hmm. Groaning?
They sounded like they were groaning.
Oh.
That's exactly. I would hear the occasional just, like, sound. And it was, there was just, you know, it was very beautiful.
It's a wonderful place to be alone because it is so silent. And it's a good, if... Like
and the stars
are amazing. Mm-hmm. And my favorite kind of, I didn't get that this type of alone time this time, but my favorite type of alone time is driving. Like if I'm alone in a car, I love that because I can think, I can sing along to the radio as loud as I want. I can, you know, I can have conversations with people who aren't there and, you know, say all the things that I wish I could say in real life, but I don't. So I really like alone time in the car. So if you're like me in that respect, which many people are not, it's also a great, it's 6.5 hours of nice alone time in the car. But we had a wonder, like it was me and Brian and our dog, and we had a wonderful time. But again, like all the places in this story, it's a good place for extroverts too, because especially at the bed and breakfast, because there's going to be other guests and you're going to be at the breakfast table with them and talking and sharing
or
stories.
Not.
And yeah, you might
when,
not be, but yeah,
yeah. When
you don't have to be
there,
an introvert to go.
Yeah, when
saying.
We went out there, the only people that we saw besides Monty, Joe, and Vicky that I remember, we saw the mailman drive by.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, and then there were two people that were hiking, and then there was just like no people. Anywhere.
Yeah, it's pretty lonely, but oh sorry. I'm playing with the thing of post-it notes and apparently it's reading on the mic, so when we were there this past time, our buddy Molly O'Connor from the Oklahoma Arts Council just walked in the front door and she and her niece were staying there.
Oh,
the same day as we were, and so I like hopped up and was like, Molly!
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, Greg. Anyway, it was very fun. It was very fun to see them there. So it's an awesome place. Go to Black Mesa. Go to all of these places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other stuff in the issue, we will be talking with one of our reporters here about her story on an upcoming episode. But and we talked about this a little bit. The gift guide, the online gift guide, is going to be in this issue as well. But we've also got some really great stuff about the Spiro Mounds. Mm-hmm. Speaking of places to be alone and also commune with the dead, the Spiro Mounds and
Museum of the Red River.
Less a place to commune with the dead, but yeah, the Museum of the Red River is another really. It's a great story in here and a great place to visit. So
it is a top notch museum.
It really is.
Yeah.
I was
so impressed.
But it's the thing that I think is the greatest about it is that you walk in and you're like, there's not very much to it. The way that they space the galleries, it's like you feel like you have so much breathing room in between. And you can really process each individual item. It's not like, oh my gosh, there's just so much here. I have no idea what to look at or where to even start. There's kind of a logical path that you can follow. And it's just so nice. It's just nice and relaxing to be there.
It's really, they have a lot of really beautiful things. Mm-hmm. And as someone who loves to buy stuff, I really appreciate their gift shop.
I was about to say this.
It's very reasonably priced.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it has really unique items. It's not just little plastic things. Made in China.
There are all sorts of things like they had all these cool beaded things by like local artists.
Little glass dinosaur ornaments. Uh-huh. Those are really neat.
They had a bunch of like actual like plastic toy dinosaurs that were really, really good quality, and I bought several of them for my nephew, and mm-hmm. he loves those things. So
yeah.
It's a great, great, great gift shop. I have to give props to the Museum of the
Museum. It's just it is a southeastern Oklahoma treasure.
For sure.
And a largely undiscovered treasure for I think a lot of people are surprised by the quality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that they just haven't heard that much about it, so I was really happy that we got to get it in this issue.
Yeah, agree.
One more little plug for the issue is Nathan was kind enough to pull up a recipe for these kind of fruitcake cookies.
This is my grandmother-in-law. This is my husband's grandmother. Listen, I don't like fruitcake either. That's just the truth. Nobody likes fruitcake. I know some people who like it, but these cookies they're basically fruitcake ingredients, but in like a chocolate chip cookie recipe, essentially.
But they're edible.
They're beyond edible. They're so good. Like, I was so happy to get to make them in August.
Not everybody loves candied fruit, but I devoured these.
I will tell you this. Don't eat the candied fruit while you're making the cookies, because you will make yourself feel not the very best.
Yeah. They're very sugary.
Very sweet. Sugary. And I was just sitting there with the candied pineapple and the little green cherries, just being like, another one, please, for me. Thank you, sir. And
but
then,
if you have, like, a Christmas party or something that you get to go to, hopefully we get to go to Christmas parties later this year, these are would be a really great thing to take because they look really pretty.
They're so Christmassy in color because they have the green cherries and the red cherries. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look very Christmassy. They're delicious. People love them.
And the dough freezes really well,
and
too.
And the dough, that's one thing. The dough, once you've got the dough made, you freeze it overnight. In fact, my mother-in-law, or maybe my grandmother-in-law who makes cookies, one of the two of them makes the dough at the beginning of the season and then just keeps it. Mm-hmm. Like, she'll make it over, like, the Thanksgiving break and then just keep it. And, like, every time there's I'm going to take cookies somewhere, she just pulls one out and cooks them off real quick. And you can do that. The one thing about this recipe, though, and we say it in there, but I'll reiterate, is there's a stage at which you're kind of combining two batches of different ingredients. And when you get to that stage, you're really going to, like, you got to have some muscle in that arm to really stir it up because it's thick. Like, honestly, the best thing you can do is wash your hands and just get in there instead of trying to use a spoon and stir it, just mix it with your hands and just, you know, wash them. If you're comfortable doing that in the era of COVID. But if you're not, then just...
I just like to eat cookie dough.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing. I ate a ton of this cookie dough. So for, like, the week after we did this shoot, I was a little off my feet, but it was worth it. It was totally worth it.
You guys want to get into events?
Let's do it. Let's talk about some stuff that's going on.
All right.
As always, our disclaimer, in the era of COVID, please call ahead before you attend any of these wonderful events just to make sure that everything is still good to go.
Yeah. All right. It's a well-known fact that it's illegal to kiss anyone during the month of December without a sprig of mistletoe. Uh-oh. So anyone interested in smooching after November 31st better get over November
30th?
November 31st. Great. I'm doing great, guys. Really, you better get over to the Junior League of Oklahoma City's Mistletoe Market. Hold on. I'm getting word from the voices inside my head that I am incorrect, both about the legality of December kisses and what Mistletoe Market is. My apologies. This year, it's actually an online shopping event from November 5th through the 8th, where you can find clothes, jewelry, food, and other gifts for the whole family while supporting the Junior League of Oklahoma City. Visit jloc.org for more info.
What if you could get your whole Christmas shopping done before November 10th?
No way.
That'd be amazing.
Megan doesn't believe that you can do it, so you should write in when you do
tell us so that you can prove
Megan wrong. Yeah,
please send all I told you so Megans to OKTPod@travelok.com. We will read them on the next episode in her face.
That's right.
I look forward to it.
Well, it's alive! I know we're past Halloween, but I couldn't resist with the name of this one. It being, in this case, history at the Humphrey Heritage Village in Enid, the first and third Saturdays of each month, including this coming Saturday, November 7th. No DeLorean or high-concept sci-fi phone booth is needed for this trip because they've got it all. They're celebrating the history of the Cherokee Strip by bringing in reenactors who will tend their shops, ply their wares, and work their trades. You can even hang out at the village church for a little socialization. Masks, please, if you don't mind. And you can file your own land claim at the land office for a taste of that 1893 realness. But I don't think that the land claims are actually going to be honored. I think that all that land has been spoken for 127 years or so. But, you know, it's fun to participate. I love stuff like this. I love when there's, like, you kind of feel like, you like the village at the Cowboy Museum.
Yeah.
When you kind of feel like you're walking around in it. Like, that's always so fun. So that's Saturday, November 7th at the Humphrey Heritage Village in Enid.
Well, and it's been said that cotton is the fabric of our lives and beans are the fire in our gastrointestinal systems. The power of these forces combine at the Cotton Fest and Chili Cook-Off in Frederick on November 7th. Here, cooks will put their culinary concoctions to the test in the hope of winning prize money, and visitors can bathe their taste buds in all the chili their guts can hold. Before or after they are weighted with chili, people can check out exhibitions about historical and modern cotton farming, crafts, cotton spinning and weaving, and much more. In addition, girls will face off in battle in the Little Miss Cotton Bowl pageant. For more information, visit frederickchamber.org or call 580-335-2126.
Wouldn't pageants be a lot more fun if there was a Thunderdome component?
Especially if the goal was to knock the chili out of the other girls.
Do you feel like you're going to start crawling all over your walls if you don't get out of the house soon? don't do that. It's weird, but also, you can unleash all that pent-up energy during the Tulsa Arts District First Friday Art Crawl on November 6th, which is also my birthday, by the way.
Happy birthday, Carly.
You can stroll through museums, art centers, and pop-up mini-galleries featuring all manner of creativity from local artists. Since the whole area will be open later than usual, you can also do some shopping, play a game at Shuffle's Board Game Cafe, take in some smooth jazz at Duet, and grab a bite there or at any one of 19 eateries in the area.
Wow.
Really, it's the perfect way to treat the one who's been stuck inside with you for way too long. Find out more at thetulsaartsdistrict.org.
Who was it that ate it? Somebody ate at Duet recently.
I did. I loved it.
You thought it was good. Yeah, we got a tour of it, but we didn't get to eat there.
Oh, no. Everything we got there was so good. The charcuterie board, I got like a cod stew of some kind that was delicious. I mean, but everything, they had great cocktails and it was so pretty. And it was also like reasonably, I mean, it wasn't like a super cheap, but it wasn't, it seemed like it would have been more expensive than it was.
And you could go in the basement and listen to live jazz.
It was awesome. I thought it was lovely.
And sometimes they have like comedians and other things. Yeah. It's not always jazz, but definitely jazz is their most regular thing because jazz is right in the name. So.
Fun times.
Yeah.
The problem with most progressive dinners is that you have to have friends willing to invite you over to their homes, which is difficult for unpleasant people like me. But on November 6th, which is Carly's birthday, by the way.
Carly's birthday, November 6th.
Woodward Main Street solves that dilemma with the First Friday Progressive Dinner. If the shops in downtown Woodward as Main Street merchants provide finger foods for shoppers browsing the stores, it's a great way to figure out my holiday shopping list in the event that I make some friends the next couple of months. Visit woodwardmainstreet.net to learn more.
Awesome. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
There's a great, I can't remember the name of it now, but there's that great Mexican restaurant downtown Woodward that I love. It's got the pineapple fajitas. Yum, yum, yum.
I've eaten there.
Yeah.
I also don't remember what it's called.
It's two dudes' names, but I can't remember who they are. But anyway, there's a Mexican restaurant in downtown Woodward, go look for it, and it's awesome.
All right, you did it. You made it through another episode of the Oklahoma Today podcast. If you aren't already subscribed, get on it. And while you're there, please rate us 5 stars and leave us a review. If you have any questions or comments about the podcast or you'd like to shove it in Megan's face, you can send them to OKTPod@travelok.com. And please visit OklahomaToday.com/subscribe to make sure you don't miss a single issue of our magazine. Our online local shopping guide issue is on the newsstands now.
Hey, and I just thought of something. If you don't like the podcast, just recommend it to all the people you hate.
Yes, we know you have enemies. Like, that's... Nobody who's listening to this doesn't have someone that they despise.
Yeah.
That's like, right in our mission statement. So, yes, if you don't like it, please do share this with those you loathe.
But we hope you like it.
All right, we'll talk to you guys again next week.
Goodbye.